Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Welcome to the Mini PC Show. This is Big Talk, Little PCs. This is the show where Dor and I and Brian scour the internet and kind of just talk about what we find. Now, and we tell us about our little experiments we have. Basically, if there's a computer that's as small as, say, a hamburger, it fits in this category of what we're going to talk about. If it's smaller than that, it still fits in this category that we're going to talk about. If it's a laptop or a desktop, it doesn't really fit. So that's enough babbling for me. I'm going to introduce our other host here. Brian's not with us tonight. He is busy doing some research with his wife on some special secret project, so we'll let them do that. Dor, how you doing?
I like hamburgers. You like hamburgers too?
I do. I had some hamburgers for Father's Day recently, and you know, you always want to grab the really thick one because it just looks the best, but then you almost always know that the guy who cooked it didn't get it all done in the middle totally, so you get a little bit of redness. You like redness in your in the middle of your hamburger?
Maybe we should hang out sometime.
You do like redness?
I'm a firm believer in with beef, to overcook is to ruin. With hamburgers, it's hard to say pink. I don't mind a little bit of color, but not like medium. Not medium or medium
yeah.
rare.
Yeah, hamburger, I'm fine if it's well done. It don't hurt it for me at all. But no, like steak, steak I don't like it to be well done.
If steak's well done, to me, it's completely ruined.
And I've ruined some steaks. I do.
Oh, me too. I do believe Mark from Android App Addicts and Brian from this show are literally at the same time moving.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So, but they're also in different states. So I'm also positive Mark is not moving into Brian's old house and Brian is not moving into Mark's old house.
Are they moving because they're witness protection program people?
Mark's moving out of, he has no choice. He was renting. Brian, I think, is literally just upgrading, looking for a better neighborhood, school for kids kind of thing.
Upgrade.
With a double D.
Yeah. Huh. I'm not moving, Dor. Don't even try to talk me into it. I'm staying right where I'm at.
I can't afford to. If I move right now, I'd take a hit. When I bought the house 9 years ago, the house is not worth what I paid for it.
Ah.
Or what I owe.
You got one of those.
I got one of those. But I'll look at housing to me is there is no winning. There is no losing. It's merely a short-term transfer of debt. The only question is, when you sell to move on, do you lose in the selling or do you lose in the buying? Because you're going to lose. But right now, we're just waiting until at least the house is worth what we owe, and then we can look at maybe
moving. Hmm. Yeah, recently I've been thinking about selling some real estate myself, but not the house I live in.
Well, I saw some good infomercials that might help you out with that.
Yeah.
You know, it literally costs you nothing to get involved with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not buying, just selling, right?
Oh, okay. Well, then you probably have to already own it.
I do own one.
Two super quickies, Eric. Today, PiTop OS, the Raspberry Pi Debian-based distribution for my PiTop laptop, put out an update today. And I can tell you right now, it is a drastic, at least appearance-looking update. So far, I really like it. I think it looks a hell of a lot better. It's much more now geared towards note-taking, simple application launching, and there is some hacking coding thing right on the dash that I haven't played with yet, but it looks cool.
So the UI changed quite a bit.
Oh yeah.
What would you describe it as prior to the update?
Without being ultra-insulting, almost Fisher Price like, where it would boot up and you would have, at least me, because of how I configured it, six huge icons in the middle of the screen, and then you could launch a desktop like or a light desktop version of it to where it'd be much more normal like. In this one, you can still launch a quote unquote normal desktop, but the what they call, oh man, can't remember what they call it now. The dashboard-like view they have is much more appealing than I think it was before.
Oh, that's good.
And I'll say real quick, something else that happened to me. I'm learning every week I learn something. Okay. Most of the time, it's really small and almost insignificant. What I learned this week was on the Odroid C2, there's two types of updates you can do. There's the Diet Pi configuration update, which if you do that, it does updates, or you can drop to a command line and hit your old sudo apt-get update, sudo apt-get upgrade. When I did that upgrade, what it did was I went to the command line and did it because there was no update in the interface, and it upgraded my Ice Weasel, quote-unquote. Debian just did a thing where they said, okay, no more Ice Weasel. We're just going to use Firefox, because all that Ice Weasel is Firefox without the icon in the name.
Okay.
So we're just going to switch back to using Firefox. In the process of doing that, it bricked, quote-unquote, my Firefox, where it will not load. So what I think I learned was, on all these Pi devices, if there is a centralized interface to do updates, use that interface. Do not drop to a command line and do a apt-get update or a different type of update, which I think explains why with Armbian, which was really, 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 really stable, I rarely got updates. So to me, that says they were controlling the flow of the updates coming down.
So
what I did was, I right now have the Odroid C2 unplugged, and I'm running the Pine 64 as my quote-unquote desktop-like computer. And just like the Odroid C2, runs like a champ. I don't know if I sent you the picture, Eric. I also, just to support them, I got the Pine 64 backup battery pack, which basically enables you to have continuous power.
So is it?
And the battery is 8,000 milliamp.
So is it like built to the same size as the Pine 64 then? So it looks good sitting below it or above it or something?
Yeah. The Pine 64 is literally almost two of the Raspberry Pi size computers, right, side by side. The battery is that size. Pine 64 being very new, very fresh. There's not a lot of cases out there, and I believe I'm among the first to get the battery. There is no cases out there for the case for the computer and the battery. So.
Oh, okay, sure. Now, okay.
It's right now just sitting on the side.
If we can go back to the Odroid, I got a question. So it came with Ice Weasel on it. You had installed Firefox, and then when you upgraded it, your Firefox won't do anything?
Well, I did the upgrade, sudo apt-get update, sudo apt-get upgrade, and it basically converted my Ice Weasel into Firefox. After that, it would never load. And safe mode will not load.
I thought it was because maybe you already had Firefox on it, and it tried to write over it or something.
It shouldn't be. It was just an update that basically was not ARM compatible. Also, the I posted a link last show to a guy in UK posting a Amazon product that he said was a continuous power supply battery backup.
Yeah.
That was a physical brick. I've been running that for over a week. I unplugged it from the wall, and I watched it not hiccup nor anything and just continue to run. A day and a half later, over 24 hours later, I came back and I plugged it back up, and I saw it starting to charge the battery backup again, and the system never went down.
That's nice.
So it is working exactly as advertised. Now, the Pine 64 battery literally plugs right into the board itself. Mm-hmm. That, I think, was only like $17. Was not expensive. 8,000 milliamp. This battery pack, external, can do two devices via USB, was $30. So you get much more flexibility, much more battery also, but you pay literally twice as much.
But the Pine 64 battery works the same way as that one?
Basically, yes. I can have it plugged into the board, lean over, unplug the USB from the wall, Pine 64 stays up and running, plug it back into the wall, Pine 64 stays up and running.
Those are nice little APCs, or whatever they call.
Yeah, UPC. Uninterruptible power supplies.
Now, APC is the brand.
I think so, yes. Now, here's the gimmick. The real reason why I wanted at least one of these was because I want to do network
UPS,
monitoring,
not UPC.
From a Pi.
UPS.
UPS, yeah. Thank you, yes. Because I want to do network monitoring from a Pi device, not a x86 laptop or desktop. Because this is why I have the small computer. So literally hours before the show, all I did on the Ubuntu-based Pine 64 OS, dropped to a command line, apt-get update, apt-get upgrade, nothing broke. Mm-hmm. And then I did apt-get install Nagios 3. Churned for a good 20 minutes. Then it popped up and said, what do you want your password to be? Retype your password again. Asked me about an email service. I just put it to the local host for now. And bam, Nagios is up and running. Launching the default Nagios interface just proves how stupid I feel, because I see no obvious way to add what it's monitoring. I don't know how to say, okay, now...
Oh, there's no customization of what it's going to do?
I'm sure there's a way, but I'm clicking through all the interfaces, and I see no place where I can say, add a new computer to look at. Here's the IP. Here's the username. Here's the password, or whatever I have.
Adding computers that are on your network to it.
Yes, I've never had any monitoring software anywhere on any computer ever before. This is the first time I've ever done it. And while launching this makes me feel really stupid.
Yeah, if I tried setting that up, I would be calling Door like, hey, now what do I do? I'm the same way. I've never really monitored my network. Brian's the guy for that, I think.
Brian and or Richard Hughes. I know he's put a different monitoring application up. I can't remember what it was now. But he made it sound like, oh, wow, I just did this, and then in a couple minutes, I'm monitoring up a computer.
Yeah, he makes things sound a little easier than they end up being for me anyway.
Well, I look at this like changing the brakes on a car. And some people have no idea what I mean when I say that. What I mean is the first time you go and try to change brakes on a car, you feel like you're going to lose a finger. And you feel like this is really complex, and you feel like this is dangerous, and maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Then after you successfully change the first set of brakes, you think, that was really easy, man. How could anyone have a problem doing that? And then your second and third time, you're just like, this is nothing. This is nothing. This is nothing. This is easy. Coming up to this interface, I feel like I'm going to break this. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Not sure if maybe I can find a YouTube video showing me how to do this right. Because I just,
Always YouTube. Yeah, changing your own brakes is okay until you get the one time when, for some reason, somehow air got in there, and then you got to try to bleed them, and then the bleeder screws are all stripped out, and then you break the bleeder screw off because you decided to put some vice grips on it. And then what really gets crazy is, like, this would be like a simile to, I guess, so, okay, yeah, I got my network system monitoring going. Now I'm going to add a little firmware to my router so I can do it in there instead of on these Raspberry Pis or whatever, and then... That's the same as changing the rear brakes, where you got these weird springs and stuff that aren't quite the same as what you learn how to do it. Oh, yeah, I can change brakes. I can change front and back, whatever. And then you're looking back, ones are totally different.
Gotcha, yeah. And also, yeah, the first time you have to bleed brakes, it doesn't make complete sense kind of thing.
Yeah, if you can successfully change front brakes without bleeding them, more power to you. That's good stuff. That makes it go for so nice.
Right, so I'm clicking.
Are we starting that podcast now? The asbestos dust podcast.
No, we will pass on that one.
All right.
I don't think there's any more. I don't think I have any more hardware updates on my end that I can think of. Eric,
no, it's summer. You know, summertime. I am not indoors. I'm a very outdoors person, and I don't have a whole lot of, basically my outdoor hardware is pool maintenance, little things for that, and installing LED solar lights everywhere so I don't trip and fall over stuff because I don't
have. So what you're saying is you're going to have a Raspberry Pi powered pool vacuuming machine sooner or later.
I'd like to, I've got all these LED solar lights because I've already realized I'm not going to have enough money to trench power out to my shed. So everything is AMZ Review Trader $3 LED solar lights everywhere, which are fine. They're motion lights. I got a couple switches now that I can turn them on demand. If I want to work in the dark out there, I can have some light. I not only do I love the computer's time we're in now, but with the LED lights and stuff, it's just a good time to even live because you have access to light. That runs off batteries that you can take anywhere, and they're brighter than what we grew up with.
Well, that's the thing. You could take, I have these little 3-something USB key LED, I'm guessing they're LED lights. I got 5 on each side of me pointing behind me to light up my backdrop. You can put 2 of these in a battery backup you know, like a 10,000 milliamp battery backup, little doubt in my mind would light a good area up for hours on end. So if that said, what I could see doing if I was you was having solar stuff, charging some sort of batteries out there, and then power your lights off.
I do have a large solar panel, but I haven't had, I mean, I've got it to, I couldn't, it didn't produce enough power to charge my Note 4, but it did produce enough power to at least light up a battery pack showing that it was charging. Now, another thing I've done, though, is you know how we were talking about those Ambilights that you're supposed to put behind your TV set?
Yeah, I've got those
mounted out there in the garage, and I do hook up a battery pack to those. One of them's much dimmer than the other one. The one that's dimmer is just different kinds of LEDs, and that's actually got a dimmer switch, but it doesn't get very bright. But the other ones get very bright, so I've got them mounted to the bottom of a shelf so they face down. Just using, you know, using what was supposed to be for one thing, using it for my own needs in another way. I guess that's hacking, really. But this is really super, super basic, simple hacking. But I love LEDs.
Yeah.
And I've been getting into the LEDs that look like Edison lamps. Have you seen those?
What? I don't even know what the hell an Edison lamp
is. Edison lamp is like a regular old light bulb, but then it had like really long filaments in it and multiple filaments inside of this light bulb. So you'd see all...
So like a light bulb.
Yeah, but the light bulb would have one filament, the glue, the glowed. This one would have like 10 glowing filaments in it, and you could see them all burning at the same time, the Edison bulbs. So anyway, now there's LED ones that look like those.
Oh, okay.
So they got multiple LEDs, I don't know, like filament-looking things, but they're just long LEDs, and they look great. They kind of got a retro look, but then they use like zero power and they're super bright. So I've been getting into those too.
Gotcha. Very cool. I'll put a link to the LEDs. I'll plug this. I bought them from eBay. I despise links in documents like this that are on eBay, because after a certain amount of time, the links almost expire, and when you click it, all you get is a thing saying, this item's already been sold. Would you like to see more like this? If you click yes, typically it goes to nothing. And then you just don't know what the hell it's talking about. So I'm linking to AliExpress, which should be a good link for a good long time. They're $1, $1.02 a piece, which is virtually the same what I paid on eBay. I believe I paid around 70 cents, maybe 80 cents a pop. And then it was free shipping, and I got 10 of these things for like $11 total.
That's fine. Right. Yeah, it's a good deal.
And these little things are ridiculously bright. And I will say, it says, at least on this one, because this looks literally identical to what I have, 5 volt, which I do think means they're going to use more than like a Pi type device to light, but it's not much. It isn't much power at all.
Yeah, and I'll put a link in here for these LED light bulbs I was talking about. Oh, they're novelty. I mean, really, if you want, everybody's gonna switch over to LED lights anyway, right? Unless they find some major flaw in them sometime at some point.
Well, unless they find out it causes cancer or something. Yes.
Everything does. So yeah, they probably will.
How dare you say that,
dude? You're gonna tell me? Really? I mean, what doesn't?
I was going to say cancer doesn't cause cancer, but I think I'm wrong.
There. Like, you smell like cut grass and probably get cancer or something from that. I don't know. So anyway, no, I've just been playing with light bulbs. But yesterday I didn't really have to, because it was the longest, you know, day of the year. So,
well, here's a stupid question for you. Can you perceive any type of this type of task which you would find you would like to do? Either have a small screen inside the house or a small screen in your shed where you can tap and then have something happen in the other place. Because that's like the only kind of stuff where I could see IoT, quote unquote, becoming a useful necessity. Because like, if I could tap here and have something upstairs happen, then I could see it being useful, but I don't know what I would need.
Well, you know what I mean? A lot of these are motion lights, and I could see maybe if I had some sort of a video camera out there, so when a motion light engaged, it would start streaming, so I could see what was going on the other side of my shed. You know, like if there's a raccoon or a woodchuck or something back there, or burglar, whatever. I could see maybe that. And now, you know, as far as turning lights on and off to and from, I don't know. I did take an old PC, though, and put it out there, threw Linux on it, and with my Google Music account, I've got it hooked up to a nice set of speakers, and I just leave it out there in the shed. Attention all robbers, I have a laptop in the shed, and chances are the shed might not be locked. Might be, though, so right. I might have to break a lock. Bring your bolt cutters, you'll be right. So I've just got it sitting out there, and so we can stream music. I was doing Bluetooth to a Bluetooth speaker prior to that. But yeah, this is all run off extension cords right now because I didn't buy the trenching and the conduit and everything to run electric all the way out there yet. So it's all very temporary.
Gotcha. You know, well, I wouldn't say temporary, beta. Until you're happily satisfied, then you can look at doing more formal
infrastructure. That's a good point, too, because my wife kind of knew where she wanted the fence to be and where she wanted this and all and everything. But no, I'm like, I kind of like this because then I can realize. And a couple things that I thought I can almost prove to her that, you know, no, the fence needs to be closer up by the pool than she wants it down the hill. I'm like, well, then people are going to see over. Oh, no, they can't see it over because it's all on a hill. I'm like, well, I don't know, man. I kind of like it up close. Right. If I stand on the top of my ladder, I can still see over the fence and everybody can see me standing on top of the ladder. And that's close enough. It's like whale watching or something.
Right, well, I am... Also, I will also probably be looking at some sort of camera solution because this, my oldest son, oh my goodness, Eric, he's gigantic already. It's scary how big this kid is.
How old is he? Hey,
11. Ooh. And any day now, he's going to be looking down his nose at me kind of thing. But he's quote unquote graduated elementary school. He's going to middle school. So he's 11 years old, going on 12. You cannot walk to the middle school. Even if you live literally across the street from it, you cannot walk to the
middle school. Oh, they don't allow it?
Because there is no sidewalks anywhere around the middle school.
I don't know.
Don't ask me to explain, okay. Eric. It makes no sense. All right. There is no sidewalk. So you either have to be dropped off by car or ride a bus. And literally, if you're 50 feet down the road, they offer bus service, okay? Because you cannot walk. Okay, now let's get that out of the way. Okay, the bus stop is literally, 300, 400 feet down the street. It's not far at all. Okay. The bus picks up almost at the time every morning that we leave. So he could get ready and basically walk out the door right before us and get the bus. We're debating on whether or not to let him then take the bus back to here, get off the bus, walk home, and come in the house for like two and a half hours, 3 hours before we get home. A latchkey kid, quote unquote. Yeah. So if he does that, I want the ability to have motion detection saying, ping, there's been motion. Because what I would like to do is honestly have two systems. One above my door, I have four little windows. Mm-hmm. One pointing outside the window, just doing normal monitoring. And then, honestly, one inside the door, looking down. So it can say, this trigger's been activated, and then a minute later, this trigger's been activated. That will then tell me, okay, he's home. And then if I want, I can review the footage later on. So I'm, too, going to be looking at some sort of camera solution. It's a very long way for me to say this. Zone Minder is the old standard Linux tool for webcam, closed-circuit TV-esque webcam software, and it does give you the ability to literally take a webcam picture and mark off certain areas as ignored and mark off certain areas as if this area gets triggered, start to record, start to stream, send an email, something.
Yeah,
that's but like anything that happens over here, just ignore. So I'm going to probably be looking at that kind of solution. That will also be in the notes. Zone Minder on the Raspberry Pi 1 or 2. I guarantee it's the exact same procedures to get it on the Raspberry Pi 3 or the Pine 64 or an Orange Pi 1 or an Odroid C1 or an Odroid C2. Or
that's a good else. That's a good use case for that. Because if the Zone Minder, I've been into CCTVs for a long time, and that's how you block out your traffic. You can have it pointed at the street and don't have to get an alert every time the car goes by.
Yeah, the only two pieces of software on Linux I've heard that do this kind of thing, one is Linux MCE, which actually stood for Linux Media Center Edition, but it's really hybridized since then to try to become a all-in-one hub of cameras and sensors and everything else. But I know ZoneMinder is available for the Pi, and to be honest, has been around a really long time. And works with even IP cameras, so that's the
That's what I was going to ask you. Are you planning on IP cameras, or are you planning on some kind of a hardwired?
Well, you can do both with ZoneMinder. You can do IP cameras or hardwired, like webcams just physically connected.
Right, so USB cameras.
Okay. Right. Honestly, I don't know. I have USB webcams. I think I have two of them. I might have two of them. But they're USB webcams. They're not wireless. And honestly, I don't really like the idea of completely wireless webcams, because typically that means insecure as crap. So I'm probably honestly going to look at hooking two USB cameras up to a Pi or something.
Well, if they're wireless,
if a Pi can power.
If they're wireless IP cameras, that's okay.
Well, no, they're incredibly insecure. They don't even know how to spell security. But if I connect them both to a Pi device, I then can determine the network security and customize the security on it, instead of just trusting some company out of the box to do it. I don't know. I don't even know if the kid's going to be allowed to do the vault latchkey thing, to be honest.
Well, I think you should let him try. I always thought the age was 11, or it was 12 now, though, for like leaving kids alone.
I honestly thought it was 13, but remember, I'm a male, I'm a husband, which means I know nothing, so I just have to communicate with my wife and see what she's
doing. So what's your wife's thought?
Oh, she wants to do it.
Okay, well, then we know what you're doing.
I know. But hey, like Monty Python said, always look on the bright side of life.
Yeah.
Okay, was there anything else you know in the notes that jumped out at you?
Well, you put in here about this Raspberry Pi powered skateboard, but I don't know about that thing.
I'll say that's one of the kind of things that I'm honestly a little bit infatuated by, but I really don't know on their usefulness kind of thing.
Well, you're the skateboarder, though. You could. I wouldn't trust myself on it. I'd break it the first time.
I have not been on a skateboard for more than half of my life, is what I'll say. I think it's cool, but the thing is, if you really like skateboarding, you can never use one of these things, because the first time you do any trick, you're going to knock it off. So if you use skateboarding as transportation, then you can do this kind of
thing.
Then it's actually plausible.
Have you ever skateboarded in front of your wife?
Oh, no.
Okay. That's at least how long it's been.
10 years. For her, 10 years. And I'll say this. It's very hard. The hardest thing to do, and I hate to say Elon Musk's name, which I don't even know what the hell I just said, but one of the things he states is one of the truthful facts about big travel, you know, creating orbiters to go around the Earth. Very quickly, you get to a point where you have to add a lot more power to the thrusters, to how it's being powered. Thus, you add weight to it, which means you have to add more power, which means you need to, you know, add more weight. So you need to have more power. So then you need to have more weight. So then you need more power. You know, it's a very hard thing between balance and power. And these batteries on this, I'm going to guess, will not get you up to too great of a speed, nor last for too long of a travel. But it could, I will say this, on the bright side, again, it could be fun to do.
Yeah. So basically, what we're talking about is this guy's got, I don't even know where the Raspberry Pi is on this thing.
If you take a look, there's the two sets of trucks where it connects to the board on the bottom. One side of the trucks is the batteries. The other side of the trucks is the actual Raspberry Pi in the case.
Oh, it's in that white case?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're just, yeah, so they are kind of zip tied to the bottom of a skateboard. Just kind of a normal, generic, wide wooden skateboard kind of. And
That's the thing. On these kind of projects, they hate using brand name stuff. So it's just some generic
board. And then he's got, I guess, Wii's Bluetooth, I suppose?
Yes, the Nintendo Wii Remote is a Bluetooth device.
So you hold that and it controls the speed.
More than likely, knowing them, you either tilt it backwards and forwards and it speed up, slow down. That's the way I would do it, because to try to do it by buttons is, I think, not good. Mm.
And then there's motors that stick out the front and the back and basically drive a little belt that's kind of like a serpentine belt. It's got the little teeth on the inside. It goes around a gear and goes around another gear on the tire and spins it for you. I mean, that's cool. I feel afraid of it myself.
Yeah. If I was a kid and I had some quote-unquote disposable income, I could definitely see just trying to do this, seeing how much I could get. But I can tell you, it would not be on a thick, quarter-inch thick wood skateboard, because that weighs a lot. It would be on something thin as possible.
But, I mean, yeah, disposable income, really, what are you talking, $100 maybe? I don't know how much those motors would cost. Maybe $150, $200, I guess.
I'm not sure. One link I wanted to bring up, and it's almost the elephant in the room, on line 178 on our notes, Eric. The Raspberry Pi Maker. Now, this is not Raspberry Pi Company itself. I believe there's two companies right now that have the license to make the Raspberry Pi, to physically produce the Raspberry Pi. So you have manufacturers, distributors, and you have the originating company behind it. So this is the manufacturers of it. The one company is Sony in China, is one of the companies that makes the Raspberry Pi. The other company looks like it is being sold off for $615 million, I believe it is pounds, to a Swiss company. I have no idea whatsoever what this is going to mean. This could be the company buying it up and then saying, we don't want to do this anymore. This is a non-starter for us. We want to make high-end, big-money stuff. Or they might say, you know, we really do like this Pi, but it needs to be a little bit more expensive. And they might try to, you know, push people to sell for more money. Or they could be saying, we like this Pi, we love the idea of this, let's get the price down even more. We honestly don't know what this means to the Raspberry Pi, to the product in the future. I hate to say time will tell, but time is the only way we're going to find out what this company's actual motives are and what they're going
to
do.
I was happy to see that it was the original Pi that they pictured here. So I'm like, well, maybe they just bought the rights to the Pi 1 and they'll leave the newer ones alone. But that's probably not the case. They probably know what they got.
Yeah, it's Swiss. So I don't expect them to be, I don't even know how to say it. When I think Swiss, there's a whole bunch of things that they've done in the past. Whether it be, I believe they're the country, the origin country of the company that bought Budweiser. Mm-hmm. But they haven't changed anything. They just keep moving forward. I don't know.
I think they could add a ton of different features to the Raspberry Pi that we've never seen before. You know what they did with that army knife, right?
Exactly. They went all gung-ho on that. I almost am getting this one. I don't know if I'm getting this one yet, Eric. Line 184 in our notes. Humble Bundle and me has had a very roller coaster relationship.
Uh-huh.
Okay. 5+ years ago when they started, what happened was they would put games up for sale, but also the game would be then open sourced. The complete code base of the game would be open, and so what you would buy it, you would buy it as a Linux user, me, to mainly support the company for making the decision of doing this, and I get a game at the same time.
Okay.
It was encouraging.
But in case not everybody knows what Humble Bundle is, basically, so there's they'll launch these campaigns where there's a group of games or a group of some certain kind of software or something that's produced by multiple manufacturers. They'll take, say, 10 to 13 games and offer them, you can pay whatever you want.
Right.
So you could pay a penny and get 13 games. Now they take the average, basically it's a donation of how much, say the average, you know, some guys are going to pay $20 just to support the developers. Some guys are going to pay less. Some guys are going to pay more, but they'll take the average and say that average gets to about $10. And, they'll say, hey, if you pay the average or more, then you'll get, you know, 6 more games. So you could get, like, you know, 18 games for $10. which is a decent deal, right. But the games would work on your PC, your Android, your Mac. Right.
Or even sometimes you would, let's say, pay 20 and they'll send you a shirt or they'll send you some sort of swag. It isn't always just more games. Sometimes it's actually physical goods. Mm. And then recently they've actually started to do Humble Bundles for like audio books and for EPUB books. They've been trying to spread out, but at the same token, they've stopped with the open sourcing of game code, which makes me slightly sad is what I'm going to say, but I still support them and what they do. And to me, the one reason I love the Humble Bundle is it's very easy for me during the bundle buying process to say, I want this amount of my money that I'm spending to go towards this charity, or I want it to go towards the Humble Tip, or I want it to go to the actual developers. I can literally say I want it to go to the developers and nobody else.
Yeah, they got neat little sliders. Of my $10, you got like three ways you can split your $10 up, and you get to decide as the purchaser how you want that to go.
Right. Well, they have this right now. They have a Humble Book Bundle Electronics. Now, Eric knows a lot about me. He knows my about height. He knows my about weight kind of thing. But he also knows I don't read nothing. Partially because ADHD, you know, one sentence into what I'm reading, I have no idea what I'm reading anymore. But I still might do this, A, to support them, because I think this is awesome. But B, literally just put it on my kid's tablet or phone or whatever and just tell them to have at it. This is the Humble Book Bundle Electronics, but it's really a Maker book bundle. And it's literally, I think, like 20 books. Maybe not 20, but it's a lot of books. Make Magazine, for instance, Make Schools Out of a Summer Fun Guide, Make Magazine Electronics, second edition. And it just keeps going on and on and on and on. And they're all by the Make Magazine people, which I will say, they are doing an excellent job of walking the line of being politically correct, hosting events and conferences and gatherings, publishing physical media content, Make Magazine, publishing digital content, and remaining open about a lot of the things that they do. These are one of the few people I think they're really on the right path. And now there's three levels you can basically do. Pay $1 or more, you can't pay less than a dollar. And then you get five books. Pay 15 or more, and you get two of the bigger books. Then if you pay 13 or more, then you get another, looks like, 9 books. Man, this is a lot of stuff.
And then if you had any interest in subscribing to Make Magazine, you would also get $10 off of your subscription in the print or $5 off a digital subscription to Make Magazine. So, I mean, it could pay for itself if you had any interest in Make Magazine. I mean, your kids are young and impressionable right now, Dor. You may be able just to thumb through one of these project books and find something to do on a rainy weekend inside with them.
And that
could, you know, be a spark to start something. Could make the whole $13.79, which is the average donation right now for all of this content.
And I'll say, here's the other thing. If you ever look at the Humble information, and if you ever look at the stats, there's one constant. And that constant is Windows users are the cheapest users in the universe. Mac users, most of the time, pay a little bit more on average than the Windows users, but almost always the Linux users per person pay nearly twice as much. Doesn't matter if it's a book bundle, an audiobook bundle, an album bundle, or a game bundle.
It's fun.
And I can tell you.
You're talking about the how you can tell, you know, who pays what. They do have a listing of the top 10 contributors as you scroll down the screen. And it's funny that retired old guy came in number 3 with $101. And then number 7 is an almost retired old guy at $100.
Nice. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get this one. And honestly, what I do is on every bundle I've ever done in the past, I give the source company nothing. I give the charity most, and then I give the Humble Tip some. But because this is Make Magazine, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to make them probably get most of what I would normally give to Humble. Because I do like Make, and I think they're really good people. And I'm literally clicking right now, checkout with PayPal.
So you don't give much to the developers when you do that?
I typically give them nothing.
Why?
Because most of the time I believe the developers are doing this because they've already made all their money off of it that they feel like they're going to make. So now let's just see if we can rake in any more money.
The problem I have with Humble Bundle is I've got my devices everywhere. You know, I've got my computer here, my phone, my tablet. I can never go back and reinstall the things I've already bought because they're not like in the Play Store. They're outside of the Play Store. They're not in my face at all that I've purchased these things. I should log in and see if there is something.
Okay. First off, there is. If you go to, I want to say it was humblebundle.com/redeem, you put in your email address and it will send you links to everything you ever bought. I will say if you do any computer gaming whatsoever, most of the time you get also Steam keys, so you can add it to your Steam library very easily. And I will say I can only choose them in ebook, PDF, EPUB, or Mobi. Hoorah, I love choice. And I can either choose a download of a direct link or even if I want to a BitTorrent download, because you know that's how they roll.
Yeah, I guess it's been a while. Humble Bundle, so asking for me to authenticate.
They now are like Steam. First time you log in through any browser, they're going to send you a code just to verify you are you.
Yeah, I don't even know if I have Steam installed on anything right now. Does Steam run on Linux?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm not going to say you're getting everything you get on a Windows box, but I will say it is becoming more and more competitive as time goes on.
Well, there's my stuff sorted alphabetically. Well, thank you, Dor. I'll have to look through this again. Well, I've got a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. To me, this is almost like on Android. I have an app called My Paid Apps. Once in a while, I just browse through it and remember, oh, yeah, I did buy that. Let me download that. Once in a while, I go to that page, and I'm reminded of the girth of stuff that I've bought. And what I did was I put a Humble Bundle app on all my kids' devices and say, download all the games you want, play them while you want.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I was just, we were just, Android App Addicts last week, we were just talking about Desert Bus, and that was one of them that I had purchased through Humble Bundle.
Very cool.
And then another one that I was just thinking about earlier today when I was driving into Chicago, Zenbound. Do you remember that? Where it was like, there was these weird objects, you had to bind them up with rope.
Yes, I do.
I was just thinking about that one. Huh.
Very cool. Something I just wanted to side mention, just because I found it interesting. There's now it's line 185 in our notes. There's now a quote-unquote official Kodi Raspberry Pi case. And when I first heard about that, what? What do you mean? Official Raspberry Pi Kodi case. And apparently one of the things that they try to tout is this case is overclocking ready, to which of course I'm like, how can a case be overclocking ready? This, it literally is one of those things confused the living hell out of me, thinking there's just something I'm missing. No, okay, it makes no damn sense. What they mean to say is, when you buy the case, we also ship with it thermal pad, so like heat sink.
Oh, okay.
For your Pi. So it's,
so when you overclocking it, friendly, it'll stay a little cooler.
Well, and honestly, the logic is everyone doing like higher end media streaming on any of these small devices, they want to eke and squeeze every single little ounce, every microgram of performance out of the device, which means they're going to overclock the damn thing regardless. It doesn't matter what processor speed it says, they're going to try to get more out of it. So I'll say that's cool that they have this.
It's a nice looking case. $20 is what it costs to buy.
Which is, I'll say, a fair price for a quality case, and this does look like a better, much better than average.
Yeah, it's one of the better looking cases. It almost, I can't tell for sure if it's metal, but it looks, it's got a metal look to it.
It is aluminium, or as we say in this country, aluminum.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the ones that we got at Ohio Linux Fest a couple years ago for the original Pi. It looks like it could take a beating.
Yes. Except they're not aluminum. They're friggin'
steel. Yeah, those were rolled steel. Yeah.
And this is, and here's one of the things, Eric. This case is aluminum. Do you really need aluminum? I mean, if you want to have proper ventilation and heat sinking and heat dissipation and thermal induction and blah, 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 plastic is not good. You want metal because metal sucks away heat. But I'll say this. One of our friends got a 3D printer, and I'm sitting here with this Pine 64 with a battery hanging off of it, like incompetently hanging off of it. And the only thing going through my mind was, well, you know, if I had a 3D printer, then I could have a Pine 64 case and just add another box beneath it, turn it into a double-decker case with a little hole here and a little hole there, hit print, 6 hours later or whatever, voila, I have myself a Pine 64 case with a battery. Or if I want a custom Raspberry Pi case with a Kodi logo on it, made out of plastic, not metal, design, 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 click, 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 6 hours later or whatever, I have it. But, like you insinuated before we hit re-accord, you asked me, how's my new OnePlus 3? And I'm not buying it, at least yet. I'm doing everything in my power to not jump into any purchase over $100. I want to take it slow and be sure it's something I want.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of early adopters on the 3D printing bus that are sour because the early ones were rough. I think I've mentioned this before. There's a lot of factories around here who have 3D printers that never get used. And I don't know. There's more and more upgrade parts. I don't know if they're upgrade or replacement parts, but I see a lot of parts for 3D printers now. And I just wonder if maybe some of those, they had the mechanics maybe right as far as the X and Y axis movements, but maybe the extrusion heads were bad or something. I don't know. I don't know why they don't get used, but they don't. The funny thing about Flirc, which it's FLIRC, who makes this Kodi case, if you don't want the Kodi logo on it, they also sell a Raspberry Pi 3 case for $14.95. So you're actually saving $5 to not have the Kodi logo sticker on the top.
Yeah, I do believe this was a case we brought up maybe like 10 episodes ago or so.
Okay.
Because that name Flirc just, you know.
They have a couple other products. They've got the Flirc USB. Use any remote with your media center, which is kind of neat.
Right.
It's an IR receiver.
Yeah, it basically is it's a IR infrared receiver.
And I don't,
that's USB, just plug in.
And I'm not sure what the Streecom, Flirc Streecom Edition, custom made for Streecom case. I have no idea what that is.
Why, it's obvious, Eric. What is Flirc SE? Flirc SE was designed in collaboration with Streecom Inc. We took all the great features out of the Flirc USB device and designed a custom solution for a seamless user experience for their beauty design cases. Flirc SE is designed to be tucked into the cases and can be used to turn on a power on to turn on a machines that completely powered down. What? Doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it?
I think you might be reluctant to spend over $100, but that's only $33 door. You should just get one and figure it out.
Yeah.
For me.
Well, here's the technical specs. You ready? The Flirc SE technical specs. Weight, 2 ounces. 3 by 2 by 3 inches.
And that's way too heavy.
It is. And it's huge. Well, I mean,
I do like how the corner's cut off. That's pretty nice though. I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't know. And they do a horrible job of describing it. I will say that.
Well, I'm going to have to get a Streecom case. It looks like Streecom just must be a case for Media Center PCs. And this is...
I don't know. I just suggest that you buy 2 or 3 of these and just bang them together and see what happens.
I think I had another one. Oh, yeah. They got a sale on Chrome boxes at Dell. I threw this in the notes. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a Chromebook. My son does. I don't have any Chrome boxes, but... This didn't seem like too bad a deal, $146.99, but it is a Celeron, you know, 2 gigs of RAM.
Well, I'll say with Chrome boxes, I don't expect processors. I don't expect i7s. Mm-hmm. If it has an i7, you know you're going to see better performance, but I don't expect an i7. I will say market value, $250.
Yes.
So they're saying they're taking $108 off of this price. 2 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM, which on a Chrome interface, the more RAM, the better. 2 is acceptable, I'll say. It wouldn't shock me if they're getting ready to rev it.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, yeah. You know what I mean? In like 2 or 3 weeks, whatever, you'll come back. They won't have these anymore. They'll have their new Chrome boxes for $200.
Or oh, they might totally already have it replaced. But they did drop $100 off the price of this, so I just thought that'd be worth mentioning. Yeah.
And it has a full USB 3.0 port, a actual hardware RJ45 port, HDMI, and display port. And it does have Wi-Fi built in as well. I don't see Bluetooth for some reason, but I think it does have Bluetooth in as well. I'm a big fan of these as replacement computers for people who literally just use their browser.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think my son's HP Chromebook has, I think it's a Celeron in that too. And he's been fine with it.
Yeah, I'm literally thinking this does not have Bluetooth in it because I'm seeing accessories and service, Dell wired keyboard and Dell optical USB 3-button mouse.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd use a wired mouse with, I don't know.
Well, it all depends on your physical setup, you know.
It is okay. Wi-Fi and Bluetooth 4.
Oh, that's good. I'm definitely Link Lite this week, Eric. I don't know if there's any other things.
Is that a new Zelda game?
Yeah, it is. No. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to talk about this week.
Well, since we're talking about Dell, we could talk about... We brought this to the show a few weeks ago where they had backpack gaming rigs. Now, Alienware has their own, and they're owned by Dell, but so they got a game called Zero Latency VR, it looks like.
Oh, it sounds hot.
Survival trailer. These guys are all dressed up in, I don't know, maybe that's PlayStation stuff. I don't know.
It does look like PlayStation because it has the stupid big balls
light bulbs on top of things. I just don't get...
That's like the PlayStation Move. It was basically a little stick with a stupid light.
So the camera could follow it.
I guess. Here's the thing. If you look at the trailer for this game, you see a whole bunch of people in some kind of big wide open area. Eric?
What?
Do you want to go someplace to play video games? Correction. Do you want to have to go someplace to play video games?
No. Not anymore.
No. Nobody does. Now, they could have certain types of stuff for kids. You can come down, and it's a safe zone where people don't use trigger words, and you can be in this area, big area, and play kind of games. That could be
cool. Have you met gamers? There's not going to be any safe zone.
Have you heard about Gamergate? If it isn't something you can literally, quote-unquote, sit on your couch or comfortably do in your house for a normal person, I don't see it being ridiculously possible. I do see this kind of thing, though, do having a niche, like a Dave and Buster's cordoning off a section of their area to have these kind of games.
Well,
on.
Yeah, but, I think those weird treadmills that you can run in any direction is probably the better thing. Otherwise, you're going to eventually, if you've got some big piece of plastic strapped to your eyes, you're going to run into something eventually. Unless you're on like a controlled thing that you're not going anywhere. I don't mind that every time I play with VR to sit in a rotating office chair, it works perfect for me. I guess if you really have to run in a game, throw your Fitbit on it and do it on a treadmill safely and, count those steps.
Right. And honestly, I do kind of like the idea of a backpack PC because then it just means that there's no cables or there's no cables to trip over. And you have high-speed transmission because wireless can be fast, but you have to be really close.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I was always impressed the first time I played with an Xbox's wireless controllers because I always thought, there's no way you could have a wireless controller that would be fast enough to, to not be laggy and noticeable. Microsoft nailed it with the wireless controllers.
Well, there are some people that still complain about that.
I do notice.
Because gamers are never happy.
This Alienware does have a pair of wired controllers. So, I don't know. But that's their niche they're catering to, and I couldn't tell you the difference, but they can.
Right, and like when we were in Chicago, wasn't that where it was, Eric? Where a huge part of the group we were with one night fractured off, and they went inside some building and played some like survival horror-ish kind of game thing. I could see next year going to a conference and having a group of people fractioning off and going to this, I don't want to say abandoned warehouse, but empty warehouse, and doing this kind of thing with Dell Alienware or HP backpacks on, running around shooting. Where, of course, I'll just be sitting there eating popcorn going, ha, 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 look at him over there.
No, that's true. That would, I mean, that'd be a good outing for a group of people to do. That'd be fun. This is kind of like going and playing laser tag. Something like that.
Well, it can be, but what I worry about is for big companies to be involved with it, they're going to have to sell a hell of a lot of these things or charge a hell of a lot of money.
Right.
So it's either going to be like, you know, $60, $80, $100 per head to do this, or they're going to have to be everywhere kind of thing. I don't know.
But this is still more personal. I mean, the VR thing, I don't know. I don't know. If you're going to do a shooting, like a first-person shooter with your friends, why wouldn't you just do laser tag instead?
I don't know, Eric. Why would you get on a roller coaster that's really exciting and fun and strap a VR headset to your head?
That too. I guess the environments, I guess you would, you know, you have to physically build, you know, barriers and things with the, No, I see what you're saying. Because I think honestly, it could be pretty cool to have a VR headset while on a roller coaster, just because it changes the environment so much. But I guess that would be the same thing when you're in your first person shooter with your friends. You could change the environment so much that you could feel like you're in an urban setting or a desert, or, you know, switching back and forth, or, you know, Antarctica, whatever.
I don't know. Interesting times, I will say.
Yeah, fun times. I think that's about all I had for this week, Dor. We need to get Brian back here.
Yeah, we do.
You're paying them too much. They're all up buying houses, Dor. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's the ticket. I will try to get... I'm sure this Nagios thing is not difficult. I'm going to try my best to figure it out. And maybe Nagios isn't the right solution. So I will say to people out there, if you are doing some kind of monitoring, whether it is SNMP traps, or I believe that's the right acronym, over your network to do monitoring, or you're using something else, let me know what you think is the best and why. I would love to basically just have something that auto detects my entire network, and then I go back in and define. But that maybe I got to get a plugin, because I do notice there is a link to download plugins. So maybe that might be my path to success.
Yes, download them all and then see if it works. So,
just download everything.
Also, you know, after you email him about that, if you get any other email comments and you'd like us to read them on the air, or if you have questions yourself that you think our community can help answer for you, where do you want them to send the emails to, Dor?
The easiest place is just send us an email. I believe it's minipcshow@podnos.com, or just click on podnos.com and go to contact and then minipc.
And we also do take voicemails, too, if you'd like to chime in on anything we talk about. We will play your voicemail on the air, as long as it's not too long, because we did have issues on our other show where we would have ones that went over a minute long, and that's kind of too much sometimes. But 7076-PODNUT, you can leave a voicemail at. Or you can, you know, upload an audio file if it's easier for you to do it that way. Record it on your phone, whatever you want to do. All right. Well, I want to thank you for listening. Dor, thanks for hanging out again tonight, and we will talk to you next week.